You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
Jeff, I'm not too bad. It's one of those weekends where it's annoying because, well, it's not like a real rivalry. Angel fans are very obnoxious, and so when the Dodgers give them fuel, it just allows them their obnoxious sides to come out more, and not as fun.
Yeah, for sure. The Dodgers lost, I think it's their fifth straight series. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Angels, got kind of blown out on Friday, had a blowout turn into a close game in a victory on Saturday, and then lost a close one, a one-run game on Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit about each of the three games, I think. Not really doing a recap, but some stuff to talk about each of one. We're going to talk a little bit about Trevor Bauer and his comments. We're going to talk about pulling Kershaw early in the blowout game and the bullpen's subsequent implosion. And we're going to talk about maybe some positive signs that come out of the weekend, even with the series loss. But first, we want to remind you, please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so like I said, the Dodgers lost 2-1 on Sunday. Trevor Bauer pitched. He really... he only had one rough inning where he, with two outs, he gave up an infield single and then two walks and then a two-run double to Jared Walsh, giving up the infield single to David Fletcher. You know, things happen, but then walking Ohtani and Trout to get to Walsh, who is the Angels' big run producer these days. It didn't work out. In fact, the Dodgers got a little bit lucky that the ball hopped over the wall. Otherwise, it's probably a base-clearing double. But that was all. You know, Bauer went six strong innings, strong-ish anyway. He threw 113 pitches in six innings, which is more than you would like. But he tried to battle to come back for the seventh inning, but obviously Dave Roberts wasn't going to send him out there to throw 130 pitches or whatever. And after the game, Bauer had some strong comments to say. Basically, he said that he's pissed off that he came to the Dodgers to win, and he is not happy about not winning. I don't know. What were your thoughts, Vince? I've seen a lot of thoughts on social media, and I'm interested to hear what you thought about it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's actually pretty funny that he said that. We had a comment from a listener a couple of days ago on Twitter saying one thing I said on the podcast was that players not going on tirades like before. He says, I disagree. Bauer and Walker might start soon. They're pitching great, holding up their side, so stay tuned. Lo and behold, it wasn't necessarily a tirade. He wasn't calling out the team or anything, but he did, you know, make his things mentioned. And I think it's a good thing. The Dodgers haven't really had a guy like Bauer before that's very out there and outspoken and putting it out there. And like I said, he didn't say anything bad. He didn't say anything wrong. Obviously, if you ask half or all the team, they should all be mad that they're losing and that they should be playing better. And everyone in the Dodgers clubhouse should agree with what he said. So I don't have any issue with him saying it. It's understandable. You know, they've 5 series in a row, first time since 2017, which was a crazy stretch of losing 16 out of 17. I'm assuming it was during that time. So yeah, I don't have any issues with it. I'm not necessarily glad he spoke up, but I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a case of confirmation bias, where whatever you already think about Trevor Bauer, that's about what you're going to think about these comments. I think if it had been Clayton Kershaw or Mookie Betts who said what Bauer said, I think it would be almost universally praised. Oh, yeah, show some leadership. That's a team leader right there. Yeah, get these guys fired up, you know. But because it's Bauer, people who didn't like Bauer to start with didn't like it. I agree. I didn't see it as calling anybody out as much as saying my perspective on this is that we are upset about this. He even started by saying, I don't want to speak for the rest of the team, so I'll say for me personally, you know, but what that means is he's saying, yeah, we're tired of losing. We know we're better than this and we're tired of it and we're upset about it. And honestly, that's what somebody says to the media doesn't matter. I don't care at all what people say to the media, whether that's Dave Roberts giving non-answers, whether it's Kenley Jansen giving bad answers, or whether it's Trevor Bauer saying this. But yeah, I like to think that the players in the Dodgers locker room are pretty darn tired of losing and upset knowing that they're better than this. And so if it was Trevor Bauer who said it, great. You know, if it had been Clayton Kershaw who said it, that would have been great too. And Kershaw, you know, in the past, I saw somebody on Twitter. I don't know who it was. I try not to pay too much attention to who says certain things just because I try to be Switzerland on social media. But I saw somebody say Clayton Kershaw never would have said something like that. And somebody responded with a quote of Clayton Kershaw saying something pretty darn similar back in 2016 or 15, sometime when the Dodgers were struggling. And so, yeah, it comes down to if you don't respect Trevor Bauer as a leader in the clubhouse, you're not going to like what he said. If you do, then you are. And if you don't have a strong opinion one way or the other, which is basically me, I don't know what his status is in the locker room, but I definitely don't think that he said anything that deserves to be upset about. And I think he probably does accurately reflect a lot of the feeling in the clubhouse right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I hope that's how they feel in the clubhouse. I hope they don't want to be losing and doing all this, what they're doing. It will be funny if the Dodgers go on a run after this and then, you know, Trevor Bauer will get Twitter credit for sparking this run with his words. So I'm looking forward to that, obviously, because that would mean the Dodgers are winning, but also because it's fun to watch Twitter burn sometimes.
Yeah, if the Dodgers do go on a run, I'm still crediting Mookie getting whacked in the Mookies on Saturday. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment. But they do need to go on a run because as of right now, they have as many losses in 2021 as they had in the 2020 regular season. So they need to go 25-0 in their next 25 games to match last season's record. And honestly, I'm all in favor of a 25-0 stretch right now. All right, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk specifically about Saturday's game, pulling Kershaw early, and then the plan with the bullpen and the bullpen not living up to that plan, etc. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Rock Auto is a family-owned online auto parts company. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, and there's so many different kinds of cars, so many parts for each car. And so if you go down to a regular old auto parts store, mostly they have generic parts. You know, if you need whatever you need, they have a lot of generic parts that kind of fit a lot of different things. But if you want the parts that are made for your car, an auto parts store isn't going to cut it because they just don't have enough room to have all the parts you might need. But a website, it's like unlimited space. It's like magic. So if you go to rockauto.com, you can find your make and model of car. You can search, you can find every single part that they have available. And the best part is the pricing is going to be a bunch better too. And so because they charge everybody the same amount. They don't have special pricing for their favorite customers or anything. Everybody's their favorite customer. So if you need auto parts and you're not going to rockauto.com, I promise you, you are spending too much money. Go to rockauto.com, find your make and model, find all the parts, buy what you need. If you get the wrong thing, their returns are easy and simple and great. And it's just the way to buy auto parts. So check it out. If you do buy something, they're going to ask how you heard about them. Be sure to tell them that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. The NBA playoffs are getting ready to start pretty darn soon, and if you are interested in betting on that stuff, BetOnline is the way to go. Obviously, betting on baseball, if you're into that, the Dodgers are going to go on a run. Start betting on the Dodgers and eventually it's going to pay off for you, I think. Fingers crossed. But before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, let's talk about that game on Saturday, the one game the Dodgers did win in the series, and it was looking like a blowout. The Dodgers were up 13-0 at one point. They had back-to-back innings where they batted around, and I think 8 runs in one inning, 5 runs in the next inning, and 13-0. And at that point, Clayton Kershaw was only at 71 pitches, I think, and Dave Roberts made the decision to pull him after 5 innings. Brought in Dennis Santana. I think the plan was probably to have Santana pitch the last 4 innings and then send him down to the minors and, you know, just call up somebody else with a fresh arm. You know, and for me, that didn't work out. Obviously, Santana struggled, and then Mitch White came in, and he struggled with a little bit of help from the Austin Barnes at second base defense. Garrett Clevenger came in and only struggled for one batter, but that put 3 more runs on the board. So it ended up being a much closer game. The Dodgers won 14-11. And after hoping to get Dennis Santana to pitch the last 4 innings, instead they ended up having to use both Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen. So there was a ton of stuff going on in that game, Vince. I don't know where to start. Where should we start talking about that game?
Yeah, obviously it was great getting out to a 13-0 lead, and then not so great when they got down to a 3-run lead in the 7th inning and thinking, oh man, Jansen might have to pitch. Luckily, on the other side, the Angels had already pulled some of their start, or at least Trout was out, so at least they were going to have to face him, but Ohtani was still in. It was, you know, I don't have an issue with taking Kershaw out when they did. He was pitching on short rest, even though he didn't pitch that long in Chicago. You know, it's still on short rest. You should be able to protect a 13-run lead no matter who you're throwing out there. So it shouldn't have become an issue. And it kind of sucked that they ended up having to use a bunch of guys out of the bullpen between Mitch White and Dennis Santana. Edwin, you said a pitch on Friday. So between those two, they should have been able to finish the game just based on innings wise. Obviously, effectiveness came into play, and that's what happened. But yeah, it was. A bittersweet game at the end of it, but at the end of the day, also, you know, the guys that would be pitching in higher leverage situations came in and got the job done, like Blake Treinen. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, for me, the thing that pushed it over the edge, for the reason I was totally fine with pulling Kershaw when they did, is those back-to-back innings where he sat for a half hour while his teammates were hitting. And then each time, after the Dodgers scored 8 runs in that inning, Kershaw came out, gave up his first 2 hits of the game. He was noticeably lesser after sitting for a half hour. And then he sat for another half hour while they scored 5 more runs, and he comes out and he walked a guy and he went to 3-1 on another guy, and his command was off. And so it was clear that sitting for that long was affecting him. And so I think after that 4th inning, when Kershaw struggled a little bit, I think that's when Roberts made the decision, okay, let's get Kershaw through his 5 innings so he can get the win and then get him done. And for me, I understand there are a lot of people who want to blame Dave Roberts for everything, say that he's mismanaging whatever. But can you imagine if Roberts had sent Kershaw back out for the 6th inning after 2 different times sitting for a half hour between innings with clear signs that he was diminished because of that, if he had come out and hurt himself in the 6th inning, can you imagine the line of pitchforks on the way to Dave Roberts' house?
I mean, realistically, he's getting pitchforks no matter what he does these days, but that would have been a bad one. It will be like Booby Miles getting hurt in Friday Night Lights movie, for those that get that reference. It would have been bad. So, like I said, yeah, no issue with everything. The bullpen should have been able to protect a 13-run lead, and I guess technically they did, although they made it a lot closer than they should have. And it was kind of like the game in Colorado in the first series where they were up 10-0, and then in the span of 6 batters, it was 10-6, and you're like, oh, well, what happened? And they've kind of done it. They knew it another time, I don't think. So I don't think it's a sign of anything. And at this point, any win is a win at right now. And for the bullpen, they're just worried about getting guys back. It would have been probably better off if Joe Kelly had pitched in that game instead of Friday's game, where it was still kind of close. But regardless of anything that happened or specific pitching matchups, it all worked out.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a reason that no bullpen has ever blown a 13-run lead, because it's almost literally impossible to blow a 13-run lead in four innings. And that's because every manager would do what Dave Roberts did. Okay, we're up 13 runs. Let's bring in our worst reliever. And then when he doesn't work, let's bring in our second worst reliever. And eventually, if it starts to get kind of close, okay, we'll bring in our good relievers. And that's exactly what Roberts did. You know, once you can accept the fact that he pulled Kershaw at the right time, or at least not at the wrong time, the bullpen management was pretty much exactly what he should have done. You give these lesser guys a chance to do something, and only when they've proven they can't do you go to the better relievers. I thought it was pretty much, you know, I shouldn't say perfectly, because there's no such thing as a perfectly managed game. But I think the way Dave Roberts handled the bullpen in that game was pretty spot on.
Yeah, regardless of how you think he handled the bullpen other times, that time was fine.
Before we end this segment, because the next segment, I think we're going to try to keep totally positive, because there were a lot of positives coming out of the weekend. In Friday night's game, the Angels had two big innings. They had two four-run innings. The first four-run inning, so Justin Upton hit a home run after striking out looking twice in that at-bat. The umpire missed it. It was a terribly umpired game overall. Ended up at 85% correct calls. Out of 144 pitches that weren't swung at, the umpire missed 22 of them, which is just remarkably bad. So Justin Upton had struck out twice before he homered, and then the inning should have been over with Upton's strikeout. And so if it had been, say, Corey Seager, who made two errors in that inning, all those runs would have been unearned. But because it was the umpire who made the errors, the runs were earned. In the whatever inning, seventh inning, whatever Joe Kelly was pitching, when the Angels scored four runs again, Kelly should have been out of that inning with no runs allowed, I think facing the minimum, because with a runner on second and one out, there was a fly ball hit to AJ Pollock that should have been a double play, because the guy on second took off on contact, and Pollock should have caught it and easily doubled him off. Instead, Pollock not only didn't catch it, he ran past it and turned it into a big inning. And then later, Pollock made another error, and he actually hurt himself on it and came out, and we don't know. He hasn't gone on the injured list yet as of the time we're recording this, but he might go on the injured list on Monday if he hasn't shown some improvement. But, you know, so even though the Dodgers lost 9-2, it should have been a lot closer than that if the umpire and the defense were better at their jobs. But the Dodgers also didn't play well, so they didn't deserve for it to be closer. So, all right, so we're going to come back in a minute. And like I said, the last segment is going to be positive, because there were some positives to take out of this weekend. So we're going to talk about some of those. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. You know it, because we tell you that every single, not every day, I guess. They don't pay us to talk about them every day. But sometimes I talk about Built Bar even when I'm not being paid to. I got a text from my old college roommate the other day who just texted me out of the blue and said, "Hey, Jeff, what's the Locked On promo code for Built Bar?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's my boy." So I told him the promo code is LOCKED15. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you get 15% off on your first order. And he's like, "Cool, I'll do that." And I said, "What flavor are you going to get?" He said, "I don't know. I like all of them." I said, "I know, me too." So I think he got a mixed box, and that's the way to go a lot of the time. My favorite, I'm telling you, this coconut brownie thing, coconut brownie something, chunk, it's just so good. I don't know if it's available on their website right now. I know I ordered a bunch of them last time it showed up. And so you should follow them on Twitter. They're at @bar_built, so that you know when that thing's available, because you will not regret getting some of those. The other one that I love is the mint brownie, and they are all delicious. They're all healthy, low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, just great, great things, like eating a candy bar without the guilt. So go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Promo code LOCK15, builtbar.com. Check it out. The best tasting protein bars ever. All right, we're back for our last segment, and we are going to try to keep this one positive. It's hard to be positive sometimes right now because the Dodgers are, for the most part, playing like Dookie. But at the end of the last series, I don't even remember who the Dodgers' last series was against. It's like they all run together. Who did the Dodgers lose to in the last series? Oh, the Cubs. Yeah. But we talked about how they were, you know, there were a couple games where they were playing like a regular run-of-the-mill slumping team and not a totally terrible team. And we mentioned that last week. And it's you know, really faint praise, but it was something. Well, this weekend we saw even more. Mookie Betts started hitting. He had a home run in Friday night's game, and it was a meaningless home run. They were down 9-1. It brought it to within 9-2. But it was Mookie hitting a home run. On Saturday's game, Mookie and Seager both got a bunch of hits, managed the strike zone really well, took some walks, and the whole team. It was a whole team offensive effort. And this was against Dylan Bundy, who, I mean, he's not going to win a Cy Young Award, but he's the Angels' best starting pitcher probably. And they knocked him around, and then they knocked in the reliever they brought in after that. And they did a really good job against real major league pitchers on Saturday. And then on Sunday, they, even though they only scored one run, they knocked out Jose Quintana early in the game because he threw like 1,000 pitches in 4 innings or whatever. They just couldn't get that big hit when they needed one. But even that was some bad luck. You know, they had bases loaded, 2 outs in the first inning, and Chris Taylor hit a hard line drive, but right at Justin Upton. They had runners on in the second inning, I think, or third, one of those innings. But Mookie Betts hit a hard line drive to right at the right fielder. They had their chances to score, and it's not like they went up there and put up terrible at bats when they had those chances for the most part. Later in the game, they struggled a little bit more, didn't necessarily put up the good at bats you would hope for. But there were a lot of signs of life this weekend offensively. Muncy hit the ball well, especially on Saturday, and it seems like they're showing signs. Sunday's game could have gone either way with a little bit of different luck. And like we mentioned, Friday's game could have gone differently with a few things, but you know, it seemed like it was kind of close to almost being an okay series.
Yeah. I think the way you summed it up Friday was they were not completely hapless anymore. They just looked like a team in a slump. And this weekend was probably a slight improvement on that. They had a lot of guys, you know, obviously the Saturday game was a big breakout, but Mookie hitting, Seager hitting, and Muncy hitting, but they just didn't all hit at once on Sunday. It just happened at different times, and they all had their hits or got on base, however they did, but it was all at different times. It didn't quite work out. They had their chances even in the last inning, in the ninth inning on Sunday. They had, you know, a first and second and didn't end up scoring. So it seems like they're starting to come around. I don't feel completely hopeless when half the team is batting anymore, which is a big improvement. So that's all we can really ask for, I guess. Obviously, we could ask for 15 runs every game, but that wouldn't be sustainable. So if they continue to do this, they're going back home. They got some days off, and then they got 2 days off this week, and they're playing a Mariners team that's decent, but they're not going to face any, you know, great starting pitching. And they got a Marlins team who's interesting, but you know, not world beaters by any means. So I think this is the week they can finally get more on track and just have multiple guys hitting. If the fourth inning from Saturday was, you know, spread out over the whole weekend, then that would have been probably, you know, at least two wins for sure. Maybe the Friday game's a little closer. Maybe they use the bullpen a little differently, and it changes the way that game goes. It just happened that they got all their hits with 2 outs and runners on base in 1 inning on a Saturday.
Yeah, you can really start to feel like, you know, they've lost so many one-run games, and that's just not sustainable. Even though, obviously, in a perfect world, they would just be leading by 4 instead of trailing by 1 at the end of the game, and so they wouldn't just have very many one-run games. But when you are within one run that many times, it's really hard to keep losing this many one-run games, and that there is almost by definition an element of bad luck involved there. And so that's going to start changing. Obviously, once they get Bellinger and McKinstry back, so they have maybe a full roster of major league hitters, because, you know, even though DJ Peters got his first big league hit even though Sheldon Noisy is technically a major leaguer, those guys aren't really major league hitters. We know that Luke Raley isn't really a major league hitter. He's not on the team right now. So they're playing with a short bench anyway because of Pollock's injury. And then they have some guys who probably ought to be in the minor leagues who are instead in the major leagues. And so a little bit of better luck and a little bit of better health, and this thing could turn around. And it's still the same team that we thought might be historically good earlier in the season. And obviously they're going to need some bullpen help, probably, because what they have right now, because of health issues and whatever, isn't going to cut it probably. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers are really, really close, I think. And Dave Roberts even said that after Sunday's game, he feels like they are close to breaking out. And I don't know if that is going to be a 25-game winning streak, but I could definitely see them going, you know, 16-9 over their next 25 games, if not better.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, it's just one or two things. If you stretch out one inning, or, you know, you get the one base hit in one of these innings, a lot of these games change. You know, you could probably say that for most teams, I guess, unless you're getting blown out every night. But a lot of these games are kind of been decided by one or two swings, one or two plays, whatever it is. So I still have a feeling they're going to get right. And like I said, this weekend was the first time where I just didn't feel they were completely hopeless at the plate. I felt like, all right, even in Sunday's game, I was like, all right, they're going to win in the seventh, or they're going to go up in the eighth, or they're going to go up in the ninth. It didn't happen, but I still had that hope, whereas other games, I had no hope that they were going to score runs or even make contact with the baseball. Another positive is that DJ Peters, for some reason, the Angels didn't just feed him a steady diet of high fastballs, and he didn't strike out all weekend, so that's a props to him.
Yeah, hope is a wonderful thing, and they're giving us hope, even if they're not giving us many wins yet. So, all right, you have any final thoughts for before we wrap this up, Vince?
Two off days this week, which, you know, we have different feelings about off days depending on how the Dodgers are playing. I don't know. I'm a fan of this week, of the way it's going to go.
Hopefully they're going to have a couple really good games against the Mariners so we can be bummed about the off day on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, well, that'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. If you haven't done so yet, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts and start listening every day. If you're not, we love having you here. If you have friends or family who are Dodger fans who aren't listening, tell them about us and have them check it out. We would appreciate that too. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, do the New York Knicks have what it takes to go on a playoff run? Get more of the sports news you need and less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!